Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. Let's just bow for a minute and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the book of Proverbs, and we know that it is a book that's designed to grant us wisdom, and we pray for wisdom. We pray that as we explore the wonderful verses of Scripture in this book, that you would minister to our minds and hearts and allow us to grow in wisdom and knowledge. Make us people that are skilled in understanding your word and applying it to life. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a pump that is in the human body, which consists of four major chambers and a series of valves. It circulates and recirculates life-supporting blood to the entire body. If anything happens to that cardiac muscle, the person is in serious trouble and can be headed toward death. And of course, that pump is the heart. There are many people who have good, strong hearts, and there are many who have weak hearts. Now, there are many kinds of heart disorders that can put a person into a dangerous position. For example, there is myocardial failure. That's when the heart's unable to pump out all of the blood that returns to it. So you have a buildup of liquid and a buildup of blood in the heart. And that can cause some serious problems. Then there is angina pectoris, and that's where the heart does not have enough blood and oxygen to perform a particular task that the person is involved in, and the result is sharp pains of an overworked heart. It's not getting enough blood supply. Medical experts have tried to develop medication that, if taken regularly, supposedly can help cure some of the problems of the heart, but if they're not taken, the problems can be fatal. There is within every human being a spiritual heart that has a serious problem. And the serious heart problem of the spiritual heart is called depravity. There's absolutely no doubt when one looks through the Bible that every heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and if a heart is left untreated, if a heart is left untouched by the word of God or by the will of God, it will bring serious trouble and even death. But God has developed a medicine that can help strengthen the heart. That medicine, of course, is the precious word of God. So when we take that in, we are able to develop a spiritual heart that is strong and healthy and robust and vitally dedicated to the Lord. Now, God knew in order for that to happen, there must be an individual heart inspection. And Solomon knew that in order for a person to truly develop a heart that's right with God, that individual must be willing to do introspection on his own heart's relationship with the Lord. And that is the thing that Solomon's teaching his son when you come to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 27. And what he says is a healthy heart, a healthy spiritual heart, is developed by taking in the word of God and applying it to life. Now, what Solomon wanted his son to do was to understand that if he would focus properly on taking healthy doses of the Word of God into his mind and heart, he would make, if he would make the necessary adjustments and the necessary changes that the Word of God would prompt one to do, there would be a therapeutic process, spiritually speaking, that would actually take that heart and make it strong and in the mind of God. It would make that heart vital, alive, and healthy. And that's what he wanted for his son. So that's what he says to his son in this section. Now, there are two main challenges that Solomon presents to his son tonight that I'll point out to you. Challenge number one is the challenge to pursue instruction. He keeps driving that home, verses 20 to 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, in this particular challenge, what Solomon does is he tells his son to use his physical senses to pursue spiritual instruction of God. And if you carefully observe what he says here, you'll notice that there are three physical exhortations that Solomon gives to his son. Number one, Solomon says to his son, use your ears. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. That verb, give attention to, is one that occurs several times in the book of Proverbs, and it's that word that means perk up your ears. listen to instruction. It was used of describing animals whose ears were drooping, and all of a sudden they hear something that causes them to perk those ears up and focus all of their attention on the noise, on the sound. The word incline is a verb which means to lean. So what Solomon's saying is, son, use your hearing, and I want you to perk up your ears to take in the Word of God. I want you to take in instruction. He's implying here that this will have a great impact on your heart's condition. If you will use your ears to listen to instruction that's healthy instruction, it will have a real benefit to your spiritual heart. It will make you develop a heart that is spiritually strong and right with God. On the other hand, if a person is listening to improper things, there will be an unhealthy spiritual heart that will develop. So Solomon not only wanted his son listening to biblical instruction, but he wanted his son leaning to it in life. He wanted him to lean in that direction. So he says to his son, son, incline your ear to my sayings. Take in the Word of God. Now the second exhortation is use your eyes. Notice verse 21, do not let them depart from your sight. So he's focused, first of all, I want you to use your ears, perk up your ears to taking in instruction from the Word of God, because this is what's going to make you healthy in your heart. And I also want you to use your sight to focus on the things of God, to look at the things of God, to study the things of God. What Solomon is saying to his son is that your eyes should constantly be focused on the teachings of God. Nothing should ever be allowed to take precedence from focusing our eyes on the precious, wonderful truths of the Word of God. Charles Bridges, who's written a good commentary on the book of Proverbs back in the 1800s, said, a neglected Bible is proof of a melancholy heart that's alienated from the Lord. What Solomon's saying to his son, take your eyes and focus on the Scriptures. Take your ears and listen to the Scriptures being taught. You take in the Word of God. You look at the Word of God. You hear the Word of God that's being taught. And the ultimate result of that will be a heart that is strengthened. A person who wants a strong, righteous heart from God's perspective will be taking in optical doses of the Word of God on a regular basis and listening to the Word of God carefully taught on a regular basis. And if that's not happening, the spiritual condition of the heart will be in a weak state. Now the third exhortation is use your mind. Use your mind. Notice verse 21, keep them in the midst of your heart. That word keep is the idea of intense guarding and in the idea of nailing something and then carefully guarding it. We used to have an old well out behind our house, and my father didn't want any of us falling in it, so he actually build a little frame and then just nail that thing shut so that you wouldn't fall in that. So not only did he cover it over, but he carefully guarded it by nailing it tight so that you couldn't get in there and get hurt. That's the idea here. You're carefully guarding something, and you're guarding it in the midst of your heart. And that phrase, in the midst of your heart, is not referring to the physical organ, but it's talking about to the intellect, the emotion, the will. You guard the Word of God carefully with your personality, from the innermost part of your personality. In other words, use the center of your heart, use the center of your mind to carefully guard the Word of God. We know that Paul went to work on his mind. Paul went to work on his heart. He sought to bring every thought into captivity, although he didn't necessarily reach that goal completely. That still was the goal. His goal was to bring every thought into captivity, to be disciplined. When it came to thinking about things, he tried to focus his mind on the right way to think. I do not think it's a coincidence that the context reveals that a key to getting the Word of God into the center of our heart, the key to guiding our heart, keeping the truth in the midst of our heart, is we use our ears and our eyes. The point is, what you're looking at and what you're listening to will affect what's in the midst of your heart. I mean, that is clearly obvious from the proverb. Why did God give us ears and why did God give us eyes? He could have designed us any way he wanted. Well, one of the wonderful reasons why he's given us ears and eyes is so that we can hear things and learn things and see things that are wonderful about God. And those who are not serious about looking at the Word of God and hearing the Word of God taught are never going to have a strong heart. And so Solomon's saying to his son, "Son, I want you to use your eyes and your ears to get this in the midst of your heart. This is critical for you taking in the Word of God." Now you'll notice that he gives a specific reason in verse 22 for his son using this. And he says, "For they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body." The specific reason why Solomon says to his own son, "I want you to use your ears to hear the Word of God and your eyes to carefully look at the Word of God," is because this will put it in your heart. And the reason why I want it in your heart is because your entire physical and spiritual condition will be revitalized. I mean, that's what he says in verse 24, because this is why I want you to do this, son, because they are life. That is, the teachings are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. Now, that word life is that plural we've seen in Hebrew. It's the plural lives, which is fullness of life. And Solomon's saying, if you will actually focus your eyes on the Word and hear the Word and take it in, it will actually have a wonderful effect on your mind and on your heart. It will lead you to a full life. I mean, that's what he's promising his son, that the Word of God will do. And of course, Solomon himself had lived this in his own life. He had at times drifted from this, but boy, he got back on track and he knew what it was like to have a full life. And now he's teaching his own son about this, and he's telling him, you need to focus your eyes and ears on the Word of God. And the next clause says, and it will be health to your whole body. Now that's synonymous parallelism, which means the first idea is kind of being developed further by the next idea, which is similar in thought. But the idea here is there will be a wonderful effect that taking the Word of God will have on your whole person. It will revitalize your life. It will, you take in the Word of God, it will give you a full life. It will have a tremendous effect on you physically, emotionally, mentally, and most importantly, spiritually. And there's absolute truth to this. There is no doubt in my mind that when we use our eyes and ears to focus on the Word of God, it revitalizes the soul, it revitalizes the life, and when people are drifting away from the things of God, they're miserable, and they become miserable. And Solomon's saying, son, I don't want you doing that. Use your ears and your eyes to focus on the Word of God. Nothing will make you happier, and nothing will make you, in a spiritual sense, healthier. This is a wonderful thing for a person to do. So he's saying, son, with your entire being, with your eyes, with your ears, with your heart, you take in the instruction of God. You focus on the Word of God. Now the second challenge is you guard your heart, verses 23 to 27. See, the focus here is on the heart. Notice verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Now the main challenge comes from verse 23, and then verses 24 to 27 give some specifics that are necessary to guarding one's heart. And Solomon is trying to communicate to his son the importance of him carefully watching over his heart with all diligence. And I want to just bring out an interesting point from verse 23. It wasn't until the early 1600s that William Harvey, who has been called the father of physiological medicine, supposedly unlocked an important truth for the medical world and the scientific world, and that is the heart is that which he concluded must function like a pump or something, and blood must flow through it. It's been observed that God revealed that in his word right here in Proverbs 4:23. From it flow the springs of life. From the heart, physically and literally, flow the springs of life. It is the heart that pumps life to the rest of the body. Now medical science has figured that out. But it was Harvey who said to have invented this in the 17th century, but he didn't. God's Word brought this out long before Harvey ever thought about it in the 17th century. Now, in verses 24 to 27, Solomon gives three specific therapeutic treatments that will help strengthen and guard our hearts. These are things that will have a positive effect upon our heart. Number one, guard your speech. Look what he says in verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. One of the main monitors of a person who is truly trying to go to work on carefully guarding their hearts is they're taking in the Word of God, they're listening to the Word of God, and that's having an effect on the way they talk. James said that the tongue was a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Frankly, if one cannot control one's speech, one is not wise and one is not guarding one's heart. I know of a situation where someone had an outburst and was confronted with the outburst, that they had some verbal tirade that they went on, and someone else confronted them on the verbal tirade, and the person said, well, who are you to judge me? And the person said, I didn't judge you. Your mouth just judged you. Your mouth shows what's really in your heart. All I'm doing is observing what you just did and basically confronted the individual on what they were doing. Now notice what the text says. Put away, which means get this out from you. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. This is referring to speech that is fraudulent, twisted, distorted. Any misrepresentation of what is true, get it out of your life. It has no business being there. Somebody guarding their hearts will be truthful. Somebody guarding their hearts is not one prone to distort anything. They're prone to be fact-oriented. They're prone to be truth-oriented, and that's what they're given to. It seems that Solomon is stressing a couple things to his son when he says to his son, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. Number one, most obvious, this speech should never come out of your own mouth. I mean, Solomon's saying to his son, son, you should speak the truth. You should not be someone who lies. You should not be someone that twists reality. You should be a person who speaks forth the truth. And so when he says, put this from you, he's basically saying, don't do something that's not true, that's crooked and wicked. Second, and maybe not quite so obvious, is the stress of getting far away from this kind of speech. Solomon says, don't get around this kind of speech. Get away from this kind of speech. Obviously, there are those that twist things. There are those that use their speech in a distorted way. And we don't want to be around those that do those kinds of things. So it seems to me Solomon is not only challenging his son to depart from this type of speech, but he's also saying, you put the farthest distance possible between yourself and those that are not truth-oriented people. Get away from those kinds of people. If there are people that are twisting and distorting and they're misrepresenting what is true, then you stay away from that. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said one time he was in a restaurant having lunch in some small town out in the Northwest, and he said he was having lunch with his wife, and he said he noticed that the waitress kept looking over at their table, and finally she walked over and said, aren't you Dr. McGee? And McGee said, yes, I am. He said, how do you know me? The waitress said, well, I've never seen you. I don't know what you look like, but I recognized your voice. And his wife said to him, you really ought to be very, very careful about what you say, because you don't know who may be listening. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. And he said, I thought about that, and I thought about myself, boy, you have a responsibility to carefully guard your speech. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have and we need this message today. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. Stay away from deceptive things that are not true, that are not sound, that are twisting and distorting reality. And I'm afraid that it is becoming a popular theological sport to listen to anything that's religious. And there are people who will spend hours listening to religious TV and radio programs that are in total theological error, when the mark of wisdom and the mark of guarding one's heart is you stay far away from heresy. I recently heard of someone who said, well, all religion's good because it's all after the same thing. No, it isn't. Satan has an arena of preachers, and all religion isn't good. That's not what the Bible teaches. Solomon did not want his son around people that were twisting things and not telling the truth. He's telling his son, you get away from that. You stay away from that. That's not going to help you. That's going to hinder your heart. That's going to mess up your life. And what comes out of a mouth will reveal the real condition of a heart. Now, obviously, the more we know of the Word, the more we're taking in the Word, the more we're looking at the Word, the more we're able to spot what isn't true, what isn't sound, what is twisted. And Solomon wants his own son to carefully guard hearing and what he was taking in. Stay away from a deceitful mouth. Which brings us to the second specific, and that is guard your sight. Notice verse 25, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. That language says, basically, you keep focus on the right path. I mean, you fix your eyes on what's right and you stay right there. And don't let your eyes go one way or another way. You keep your focus where it needs to be. What Solomon is saying is that his son should carefully keep his sight on things ahead of him, specifically on things that would be his enemy, that would be against him, that could trip him up. You spot things, you keep your eyes focused, and you keep walking in the things of the Lord. In fact, you'll notice what he says in verse 25, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. You keep straight focus on the things of the Lord. And that word gaze is an interesting word because it's a Hebrew word that refers to rapid motion. So Solomon wanted his son focused on the Word of God right through life. No matter what was happening, he wanted his eyes focused straight on the Word of God and on taking in the wisdom of God so that he would be able to strengthen his heart no matter what he was facing. You know, just one lousy look away from what is right can mess you up. Too bad Lot's wife didn't listen to this counsel. It took her one look, and that cost her. It's a shame that Achan didn't take in this counsel, because he just looked at the wrong thing and wanted it. It's a shame that Eve didn't take this counsel. I mean, she looked at the wrong thing, and she went after it too. Solomon's saying to his son, son, you keep your eyes fixed on what's right and what's true. Now, if you go to various parts of the country, most of the cities have sightseeing tours. And let me warn you, don't take the one in Cheyenne, it's worthless. Some of us took that, it's a waste of time and money. But we were thinking it was really going to be something Western and spectacular. It was just a lousy deal. But most cities have these sightseeing tours, and they take you, supposedly, to the major historical areas and places of interest. What Solomon was saying to his son is that, I don't ever want you to go on a sightseeing tour of ungodly things for 1 minute. You keep your focus right on what's right and true and sound. You keep your sight on the Word of God and take in the wise things of God. And his father David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I mean, David was going to be focused on the right, pure, true ways of God until ultimately he went home to be with the Lord. Which brings us to the final specific treatment, guard your steps. Verses 26 to 27, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Now the key to the heart, you guard speech, you guard your sight, and you guard your steps. And these last two verses in this section, this My Son section, really zeroes in on the importance of you walk in what you're seeing and hearing. You walk on the path that you're taking in right out of the Word of God. So you make a conscious choice to walk on a path of wisdom. And there are four keys to walking through life with a heart that gushes forth righteousness. Number one, get rid of obstacles. Verse 26, watch the path of your feet. Now that word, watch, is an interesting Hebrew word because it means you look down the path in a straight way, and particularly you're looking for obstacles that could trip you up. You're looking down a path and you're watching for something that could perhaps be a real obstacle. When we were out west, there was where we set up our camp, there were a series of these holes that were just all over. And one of the first things that we did was we kind of walked that area, and if possible, we would take some logs and stick it over or in these things that could possibly trip up the horses, cause them to hurt their legs. We wanted to make sure that they were safe in that area. That's the language that's being used here, only it's being used in regard to us. You take a serious look at the steps that you're about to take, and you make sure that there's nothing on that path that's going to trip you up. You make certain that you think carefully, you're watching, you're guarding the path of your feet. You take a look and make sure there are no obstacles there that are going to hinder you in your life. Secondly, carefully calculate all movement, verse 26, and all your ways will be established. Now, all your ways being established presents the concept of, again, in connection with the preceding clause, you're carefully weighing every movement so that all your ways are carefully established. You're not just rushing into something here without carefully analyzing it and praying about it and thinking it through. You're looking at something, you're analyzing it, and then you're moving very carefully and cautiously. That's what Solomon's teaching his own son. Thirdly, stay on the right path. Verse 27, do not turn to the right nor to the left. The idea here is that these little departure paths will try to pull you off the main walk. Solomon's saying to his son, as you go through life, son, there will be these little paths that will want to lure you. You don't get on those paths. They're going to try to pull you away from what's true and sound and right and wise, but you stay focused on what God's Word wants you to do and never drift from that. You keep your focus right there. And finally, get off the wrong path. Verse 27, turn your foot from evil. Son, he says, if you get on a path that's wrong, you get off that path. You don't dabble around it, you get off it. You make a conscious decision. I'm on the wrong path. I need to get on the right path. And Solomon says, that's the mark of wisdom. Now, what he basically says is, look, if you will do that, son, you're carefully guarding your heart, and you're going to have one healthy heart. You're going to have a heart that is spiritually healthy, a heart that is blossoming in the things of God. A number of years ago, there was a little chorus that challenged believers to be careful with their eyes and ears and feet. The eyes must be careful with what they were seeing, and the ears were to be careful in what they were hearing, and the feet were to be careful in where they were going. And the central motivational factor in that little chorus was, well, the Father up above is looking down with love, so be careful in what you do. Well, the song is absolutely correct. In fact, in this passage, Solomon gives one other motivational factor, and that is because if we are careful in what we see, if we are careful in what we hear, if we are careful in what we do and where we walk, then God will perform a marvelous spiritual surgery on our hearts, and out of our hearts will gush forth a righteousness that is alive, that is real, that is true, that is pure, that is healthy, that reflects His glory. So take your eyes, and I'm thankful that almost all of you here do, that I know. You take your eyes and you focus on the Word and you come and you hear the Word of God because it really strengthens one's heart. Now next Wednesday, Lord willing, we begin one of the most important passages. I used to these were passages I used to take people through in premarital counseling. They're important passages, and they deal with important subjects. And Solomon's going to, he really sets the stage for this material tonight when he says to his son, you focus your eyes on what's right and true, focus your ears on listening to what's true and sound. And next week he's going to put it into some real practical and quite graphic situations. So I hope you'll be out next Wednesday. Any questions or comments for tonight's study?